Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to another Tuesday night edition of On Wheels Now. I'm your host tonight, J.J. Nunn. Where Mikey is, I don't know. I heard he was at Treasure Island for the Trump rally, and they probably shipped him back wherever.
Mistaken him.
Mistook him for a Muslim and shipped him out. But I want to welcome everybody, Rays fans. Thank you very much for tuning in, non-Rays fans, owners, drivers, and everybody else the same. And not only am I here tonight, but also the one, the only, the man on a mission himself, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And last but not least, definitely want to welcome the 2014 Bullring Bomber Champion, driver of number 6 Bomber, Mr. Martin Soans.
7.
It's 7 now?
No. Yeah.
It's 7.
No, it's 7.
It's 7. I'm sorry. It's the driver of the number 7 Bomber, Mr. Martin Soans. How we doing, man?
Good, good. Thank you guys for inviting me. I just want to say it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure on and off the track.
Yeah, you one of the guys like to have fun and take care of each other.
Yeah,
out there, you know, it's a good group, I think, that we have out there running out at LVMS Bullring.
There's nothing like racing with.
Nope. Little technical difficulty there.
We'll There's nothing like racing with you guys. You know, it's amazing. I never thought the family that you would meet out there that helps you each and every race. I mean, that's what makes it what it is. I thought when I first started, it was about going out and winning every race and doing all this and that. That's not possible. It's more about making family, making memories, and making friends out at the track.
And making a lot of tall stories.
That too.
We've had a lot of fun out there just the past year. You know, big changes from when we left in 07. Martin, when did you start rolling out there at the Bullring? When did you first hit the track?
I started 2011. I didn't race the full season. I actually went out to Pahrump and raced a few races out there, broke down out there, so I stayed out there and raced a few more races and had a lot of fun, but I'm here. The Bullring's kind of my home track, it is my home track. So that's where I'm going, trying to make the mark.
You mentioned Pahrump. We ran with you down there a couple times. Let me ask you, your preference, pavement? Is pavement used to get to the dirt track, or is dirt track used to grow potatoes?
Watch how you answer that.
I'm more of an asphalt person. I mean, I raced the dirt a few times actually with you guys. You guys actually fixed me and my nephew's car when they broke out there. Probably wouldn't even have ever made the main. Dirt is more for probably experience, but I like the asphalt better.
You think you learn something coming off the dirt?
Yeah. You learn something no matter where you go. You have to be able to learn or you'll never go anywhere.
I mean, for me, coming off the dirt back to pavement, because I did pavement, then we went down to Pahrump, Gary and I, and then we came back to pavement again, and it just, I don't know, for me, it seemed a big difference trying to handle the car. Dirt is a driver's track, as opposed to pavement, you know, not knocking pavement, but you hit your marks on pavement, and you hope water or oil isn't down. I found myself getting out of spins and fishtailing and dealing with an ill-handling car a lot easier coming from the dirt than going, I mean, going back to the pavement. I mean, going to the dirt was a huge learning curve coming off the pavement. I was just wondering how you felt about that when, I mean, you ran down in Pahrump and then came to LVMS.
Well, you definitely learn a lot more car control on the dirt, and it helps you on the pavement, but, you know, everybody has their preference, so it's hard to say. Dirt will teach you a lot of things if you look at all the drivers, they do both. So the learning the car control on the dirt and then taking it to the asphalt will teach you something.
Besides LVMS, have you ran anyplace else? Have you been down to Havasu or out to California at all?
I've been to Havasu. I want to actually try Meridian Speedway. I got a bunch of family down there. I want to try that track. It just became NASCAR sanctioned this year. So I'd like to go down there. Havasu, that's a tough track. Havasu is nothing like Pahrump or LVMS. Yes. It's
a flat quarter mile track. Flat,
yeah.
Flat.
Yeah. It's a learning track all on its own.
Yeah. Gary and I ran down there, a couple times, and boy, did we learn a lot about a flat track, that's for sure. You know, just a little bit of bank that we have here at the Bullring is one thing, and then the high bank running dirt at Pahrump is something else, but flat track is tough. I give a lot of credit to those guys who run on that track.
Oh, yeah, you run out here, and you run good and you think you're going to go down there and do something, and it's a whole new ball game. I mean, that flat track with the power that we do have is very hard to keep under control.
Yeah, we got down there, they have open. We have a limited rear gear, 355, and down there they have an open rear gear. Those guys come out of the hole. I mean, they get on it and they're off of it. I mean, positions I lost, well, got lapped, but big difference. I don't think it's the horsepower down there. I think it's the rear gear that they run down there. Much higher rear gear there. You're on the gas and you're off the gas immediately. That's how that quarter mile track. That's what it tells me.
You saying we got a rear gear rule out at LVMS? It don't look like it.
Oh, right in. Let me introduce Mike, right in from the Trump rally, or exited, got bailed out of jail for
something. Well, I'll tell you, all roads that lead here are all under construction. I don't care where you
there's
go.
There's no construction going on in Vegas. Come on.
Not to get off the subject, but did you know, according to the DOT, right now, Las Vegas has 260 street and highway construction jobs going on.
Out of what, 267 total streets?
261.
261 total streets.
Not to get away from Mark.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't.
But 260 projects going on right now.
When they say seeing orange, they mean it.
Yeah, the flowers.
What the hell?
Yeah, I call them the state flower.
You know, I thought I was outsmarting somebody. I was like, I'm going to take this other street. I went down there. I was like, hey, this is moving, man. Yeah. Get down there. Same thing. Bottleneck all down the one lane. So, but
I can tell you, if you're in a hurry anywhere here in Vegas, you better leave 45 minutes before you got to be.
I left an hour and 45 minutes before I still didn't make it.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. I didn't mean to take anything away from you, Martin.
Everybody.
I thought I was going to miss another great guest.
Well,
we were scared
you were packed up and sent to Syria or something.
What is it, cooler there? Because this is like 180
here. I
tried
to tell him to stay off the strip on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just recovering.
Whenever the Trump rally was, it figured you got your ass rounded up and reported.
Well, he made me start building a wall.
No, I think you made a deal with him to keep you here.
Yeah,
about that wall. I figured you'd be hustling bricks and mortar, man.
Damn. Thanks, guys.
Hey, no,
hey, hey, Martin. Thanks for having me. Sorry I'm late, man. I was telling these guys a while back that every time you're a good guest, I always miss it. So almost missed it. Yeah, lucky to be here again. I appreciate you having me here with you. And thanks for being on the show, too, by the way.
You don't have to break his balls. I already broke his
balls. Okay, so...
I introduced him as the number six bomber driver.
That's where you rate on his level, right? Number six.
Six minus one. Well, we had Kaylee Bucker on, 34 plus two, so...
Awesome.
You know.
Six plus one, okay. Damn. So what'd I miss? What'd I miss here?
Well, we just started talking to Martin... Started out at Bullring 2011. Well, he ran Pahrump with us.
Oh,
for a while.
Before asphalt? Before, I mean, first time racing was in dirt or no?
No, I raced a few races at Bullring and then I went to try Pahrump and then I went back. So.
But the Bombers are your first racing experience, period, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
With you guys. You guys race with him out here?
Pahrump, yeah. Him and his nephew, Jason.
Yeah.
Came down, brought down two cars, and you still owe me a master cylinder cover, I think. It's still
you're never going to live that down, pal.
But you towed down and lost a master cylinder cover.
But we'll get to that. I think we got a guest, calling guest, or who do we got on the phone? Hello.
Hey, it's your son.
Clear this up. It's Mikey, this is Jerry.
Mikey,
you have a son. JJ, you might have a son.
No,
let's clear it up. It's Mikey's
son. Like son.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Cool.
I just wanted to call in and brag a little bit about how I got a top five at Pahrump.
That's right.
Saturday.
Yeah, we did. We actually went down to Pahrump. We didn't race the Bomber. We took the mini stop down there.
I was getting to that.
They didn't post any results.
No, they didn't post the results yet. They might have me a sixth. I don't know how they score out there, but I know I got this.
Yeah, I'll explain that in a minute.
Did you have fun, Mike?
But I just want to also congratulate Martin on his win a couple weeks back. It's
cool.
Good to see someone win that's not one of the same two or three guys out there.
Absolutely.
So,
I agree with that. So, cool
so
deal.
Congratulations, and that's all I wanted to say. So.
Thank you. It's rough, but it's glad to win when you can. You know what I mean? You take it.
And I don't know if you know, Mike runs the number 11 Silver Bomber with you guys out there. So.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep,
yeah.
I'm the guy that's always in eighth place.
Yeah, he's right behind you.
It don't matter. It's great to race with you, buddy. It's everybody out there.
What's funny is the day that you won that race, I pulled out of my neighborhood and I saw your car parked on Rainbow. So I was like, oh, how funny. You usually don't see a Bomber driving around Vegas.
Right, exactly.
That's
so.
Where all the magic was made there on Rainbow.
Hey, if that's what you got to do, wear the same socks and
right.
Do the same routine. Maybe you'll get it again.
Yeah, it's great. It's
anyways, congratulations, and I'll let you guys get back to it.
All right, thank you, Aiden. It's always a pleasure racing with you. Thanks to have you out there.
Hey.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike. Bye. We'll talk to you later.
Well, congratulations, Mikey. Mini stock.
Well,
fifth place?
Yeah, fifth place finish. What happened was the sixth place, we're not going to, you know, if they give him the fifth, make you sick, we won't argue it. But what happened was it could be scored either way. The sixth place car or the car that they might place in front of him had actually pulled off the track, changed a tire for a couple laps.
Do we know who that car was?
I think I want to say it's Mark Dobbs' daughter, the 88
Amber.
Green one? I don't know.
Turquoise and black?
Like that, right. And she knew it too. She came over and was like, "Hey, you know, I don't know what they're gonna place me. I pulled off and blah blah blah." But anyways, we know he got fifth place. So, anyways,
I was gonna ask you about that mini stock.
It's still running, huh? Well, it was funny.
Fifth place finish.
It was a last minute thing. Mikey was like, "Hey, you want to go to Pahrump?" I was like, "I don't know. I guess."
Can I borrow it?
He goes, he's like, "You want to run the mini?" I was like, "Well, we could. I mean, fuel pump was bad on it. I had to run down last minute, change the fuel pump. We aired up the tires, and I mean, it ran, so we took it down. We got there like 7:30, 7:40. We missed the heat, so we got the main.
Just in time for the driver's meeting.
Oh, we missed all that.
Can I borrow it? Well, you're July 2nd.
You ready to race?
Oh. There's a boat race out at home.
I don't think that thing could pull a boat.
We'll get one of those blow up ones.
A raft.
Yeah,
a
raft.
Get
a rubber raft from Walmart. It'll tow that.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
The car is $100. The raft is $5. We're in.
One, it might be small enough to hide. When you might get the $1,200 win, right?
It's $1,500.
Oh, is it 15? I thought it was 12.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's $1,500 to win this week.
Hey, maybe Martin will let us use his car for that.
Sorry. I think you got a spare, as she said, now, sir.
Right.
Hey, your nephew, Jason, what's he doing with that car?
You know, we actually tried that one year. We put both of our race cars in the boat race. And
wow.
It didn't turn out so well.
No, huh?
No. Not after replacing everything on the front end. It didn't work out.
Oh, did you happen to run into Wade?
Actually, I ran into Harold.
Oh, Harold.
Big Cadillac.
Oh, Harold had Scotty's Cadillac.
It was Scotty in his Cadillac.
Yeah,
I thought I was slick, and I drove through the back of his boat and destroyed it, and there was nothing left but the bottom. So he's pulling me around on the bottom of his boat,
right,
rigging me and my boat everywhere, because the only thing, I didn't have no traction, nothing. I was
couldn't
on the whole bottom of his boat.
Wow.
That's what I was hoping to do with the mini stock, just jump on the bottom
somebody
of the
else
boat and take a ride, man. I'd be protected.
Well, see, but if you get first, you can put that money back into your car.
Exactly.
I don't know. The boat race sounds like fun, and definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, July 2nd.
But probably not fun to be in. Especially if you plan on racing like the next race or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. That's a bad part. It's fun to be in, but
just doesn't. A lot of work before the next race. Yeah.
Don't want to get off you, Martin. We got Mike here, and Mikey just called in. They run, last race was the first time they ran, father and son ran in the Bombers. Your experiences with your nephew, Jason, when you were out there, any good stories with that?
He ever run you off into the wall or anything? No.
Don't get me wrong, it's a blast. I love racing with my nephew. I'll do anything for him. But that kid hits everything but the face. He will run into.
Hey, I got a guy on my team that's similar to that.
And that's my nephew. I love him to death, and I'll do anything for him. I don't care if he crashes it. Whatever happens, I will make sure that he makes the next race, but he will run into you.
So that's why this year you've had the time to work on your car to get it in the winner's circle, because you're not working on his.
No.
Hey, just busting his balls, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's
no, actually, it's kind of a tear-jerking type of story. I wasn't going to race because my dad passed on Halloween, and that was his passion, and I wasn't going to do it anymore. Money got tight. My sister stepped up, and he stepped up and actually said he wasn't going to race. He would rather help me race this season, get everything dialed in, and then we would move on to his car. So I can't thank him enough for stepping up and giving up something that he enjoys doing.
Right.
And but, it's the world to me. I mean, he's turning into a great man.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, I've met him a couple times, great kid, you know, and for him to step up like that, it I'm sure it means something to the whole family, not just yourself. But, that's good, you know, to give up something you like to do for somebody else like that. It goes a long ways, and that makes those victories for you that much sweeter, I'm sure. You know, and like Mikey had said, you had just gotten one, what, a couple races back
that's
or
right.
So?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, was that – how many wins – is that on your
resume?
Your belt, yeah.
That's three.
Wow.
That's three in 5 years, but two this season.
Well, that's good. You know,
yeah,
that's a good pattern for this season, that's for sure.
And the beginning of the season didn't start out too well for you. right off the bat, and five laps in, and you're in the pits already.
Yeah, I dropped a valve in that race, was fed up, I'm done, all this and that. It takes people like you guys, and like I said, the racing family that you meet and come to love out there, helping you and making you, oh, you're not going to miss a race. I don't, you know, it's
right.
It's amazing. I mean, I never thought that I would, my family would extend to what it is now.
That's pretty cool. Cause like you said, sometimes it takes that extra pressure. I know these guys have been through that where it's like you throw your arms up and say, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to make it out there, but somebody's there to give you a push and, you know, you made the right decision once you went forward and did what you did and all that, you know. Hey, if you're just joining us, we got Martin Solins here. Of course, you know, you can go to the bombination.com website and check out the site there. You can always come here Tuesdays, 6 p.m. live at onwheelsnow.com. So if you're just joining us, we got Martin Solins, bomber driver at LVMS.
The number seven.
The number seven, not to be mistaken for any other car. the number seven. What kind of car is that you got?
It's an 85 Caprice.
85 Caprice, okay. Wheelbase on that thing? You know?
Longer than 85.
It's legal, whatever it is.
Yeah. I can't tell you, but it's legal. I measured it twice.
What kind of rear gear are you running?
Dodge.
A wheelbase Caprice. An 85, it was either the Caprice was chasing you, or you were hailing it
right
for a taxi ride.
Exactly, right. One or the other.
It was either a cop car or a taxi.
What did they come with, JJ? Like a 273 or something?
Yep. So
you got the highway gear in there, right?
Yep. I don't know nothing.
No, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's what I like about the bombers. There's still, it's one of those divisions that have such a variety of cars in it. You know, it's not like other divisions where they're kind of narrowed down to one or two different cars. You know, you still got, you know, Capris and Monte Carlos. No,
Capris, Monte Carlos, Thunderbirds, Crown Vics,
Cougars. You know, hey. If they exist, first time out there, I know. No.
Yeah, Mercury Cougar. Yep.
So
never been out there.
No,
it's the first time.
But now that's cool. There's extra push sometimes we get that keeps us out there, you know, and that's good to see you get, you know, some victories out of that. And, you know, is that something you're doing this year? Is it a points race?
Yeah, I am, but the new point structure is... it's kind of weird.
Well,
I mean,
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you anyways. So what do you think about the point structure? I mean, it's new for all of us, and sometimes it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks and getting them to like it. So, I mean, it's...
I don't know. I'm not a fan for it. I mean, I won the championship without winning a race, whether
right.
That's good or bad. Sure. Everybody has their own take, but I've won more. I got a blown motor the first race, two first, two seconds, a third, and a wreck, and I'm fourth in points. So it's kind of the way they do the point structure is you basically have to start at the back to be able to gain any points.
Right. Yeah, and it's unfortunately at some point, you know, yeah, it's good to reward for passing points, but you almost get as many points to do that. And if you're already a fast car, you know what to do. You know, you're going to get as many as the first place guy. So, but I don't know. I'm on the fence on the point system myself. So.
It's better to start at the back and finish your second or third. You get more points than the guy that starts on the pole and wins the race.
Is that crazy?
That's
something different.
Something different. So.
You know, trying something new.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, on Tim's behalf, if you don't try it, you don't know.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Now, Mark, you had mentioned something to me earlier before we got on the air. You had somebody very important that you wanted to thank tonight.
Yeah, I want to thank my sister, Christina Perrone. I would be nowhere where I am without her. I mean, between her helping me out with the money, Jim and Sherry Merlino opening up their house to me, after I wrecked, bringing my car over and letting me work on it. Dale Hayden with his experience. I mean, he's full of experience and will help you every step of the way. You guys. I mean, Gary, after I crashed my car two races ago. What do you need? Let me help you. I mean, my nephew coming out. my sister packing the stockyards. I mean, there's so many people, my wife, that I don't ever go home because everything's about the race car. I never thought that racing would turn into what it has and you would meet so many great people. I thought you go, you park in a little stall, you do what you have to do, and that's it.
Right.
It's not like that.
Yeah, that's not. You find out who's behind you, you find out who's against you, and you find out who's going to stand right beside you in the good times, and you'll find out who stands beside you in the bad.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, in racing, you know? There is a lot of bad times. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's always good, you know, walking away from the track knowing you had a good time out there and you got the family and friends and just the people that are around you backing you.
You're always out there testing Friday night. It just seems, I don't know, is it me or is there always seems to be a problem with the car testing? Lifters and valves and rockers, and it just seems, you know, this year it Friday night is not a good night for you.
And you know, it's kind of weird you mentioned that. And one thing I've learned this season is if you don't go out there and break on Friday,
absolutely,
you're going to break on Saturday.
Shit's going to happen on Saturday.
Right. You know, and that's a good point, because if you're seeing stuff breaking for them on Friday, you're lucky because it's on Friday, not on a Saturday.
If I go out there and something doesn't break on Friday, Saturday is a bad night.
Right.
I can go out there and break on Friday and work on it all Friday and get 5 laps of practice, and Saturday's like,
yeah,
amazing. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I always come on, I see you out there for one practice, and then I walk by the pits, I see the hoods up, and I'm like, hey, Martin, what's up, man? You're going back out?
The head shaking,
damn,
like, oh.
Damn friggin' rockers, man. He goes, I got to adjust these friggin' rockers. It ain't running. Then he comes out, and he goes out.
The last race
was almost green to checkered, wasn't it?
The last race was green to checkered, and it was hairy. I don't know how the cars do it. I mean, about 15 laps in, it looked like 4th of July in the cab of my car. I don't know.
Wow. Hey, didn't Dan come on the radio and tell, was it you that he was saying, like, pick a lane or something? Were you like,
no,
who was
it? Wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It was
one of the other cars.
The
so there was, like,
yeah,
somebody that was all over the place, and I was like,
which one of the back guys aren't all over the place?
I think it was a front for a guy up front.
I think it was actually Greedy that was in second.
Oh, yeah, that's
he
what
was,
it was.
He was,
okay.
He was blocking Jacks.
Maybe it was 27. Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
I just barely heard it. I was like, well, I didn't know which one it was.
Yeah, once
so.
They get around Michael Greedy, it was you had nothing but a rear full of rear view mirror of orange.
Oh,
and
yeah,
not orange and black like I experienced last year. Okay, with McMorrin and Clark Connell. But you had Jackson, Nick Musatelli all over you for the last 4 or 5 laps.
Those guys are fast, and it's they're always fast. I don't think I've ever seen them come to the track and not be fast.
Does that push you, like, when you're – you know, because some guys don't like to be the guy in front with guys – on your tail. They like to be the guy behind the next guy and make their move last minute or something like that. Where do you like to be? Do you like to be at the very front and have these guys kind of hitting on your bumper, or would you rather kind of just be in the mix right there ready to get up in front? What's more nerve-wracking to you? Or?
You're never going to learn if you're always in front, so it's a variety. I love wherever I am, whether I wreck, didn't wreck first, or they're
right,
pounding on my bumper, because if things like that don't happen, you're not going to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
So if you go out and you start up front and you win every race, what fun is that?
No, and that's true too. So,
but I mean, I give you credit. You ran a hell of a race, man. I mean, you put some distance on those cars. You had a straightaway lead, and you know, the track was hot. It was greasy. As the race goes on, cars have a tendency to slow down a little bit. You're pushing, all of a sudden you got 2 of the fastest drivers on your ass, and you were able to keep it going, man. You with the pressure on you, I was like, oh, this could get ugly here real quick.
And I figured it was going to get ugly, and at that point it was do what you got to do and don't let them buy you. Whether it's right or wrong, at some point with a few laps left, make them go make them.
Well, if anybody knows to make somebody work for it, is JJ. He makes everybody work. He used to anyway. Make everybody work for their spot. He ran the worst, the best line for him, but the worst line to get around, man. I'm telling you. That.
Well, Martin knew. It was like after the third race that I was out there last year. Martin just knew. I told him that I break early. And I'm on the white line, and it's just look
go around.
Yeah. You got two other lanes. Go take the two other lanes.
No doubt. Now, you know, hey, that's like, you know, Martin said, it's part of the fun. If you're not, you know, every position, I guess, is a learning experience, no matter where you're at and what you're doing out there. So, but I don't know. Hey, I would think being up front is kind of where you want to be, you know. But
yeah, that would be nice, but I didn't experience that too much last year.
You did at least twice in a race, you know.
I was up front. I was ahead of those guys until they gave me the blue and gold flag and moved the hell over.
That's your favorite color, right?
Oh yeah, I love blue and gold. That's when they throw it.
Especially when it's waving. So
yeah, wave.
That's when they're throwing it.
It's better than
the
black flag, that's for sure.
Because I tell these guys are coming. I said, I hope I wasn't in your area, but I got no move over flag. I mean, there was once last year I dropped onto the rumble strips, just get the hell out of the way, these guys, and came back up on the backstretch. I'm like, where's, there was no flag. I had no idea that you guys were coming. You were running, I don't know, third or fourth, and the other two went by me, and then it was like, oh, crap, those are the leaders. I didn't see no flag.
That's crazy.
That's part of racing.
Exactly. When I kind of walked in, you guys were talking a little bit about the dirt racing and stuff. Is that the same car you raced the dirt at Pahrump, or was it a different dirt bomber?
No, I actually built this car 2 years ago. I started out with a 79 Impala that I bought for $250.
Not bad.
You still got it?
Cut it up.
Oh, man. Well, let me get back to Mike. And I'll call you mini stock.
Well, he would have had it the boat race anyways.
Well, I'll get a car for the boat race one of the somehow.
Hey, Mike, can I borrow the 81?
Maybe. Yeah. But but did you like the dirt? I guess you had a lot of fun in the dirt, or did you prefer the asphalt?
Well, I prefer the asphalt, but the dirt is learning.
Oh yeah.
Learn how to handle car control, a lot of that, more on the dirt than you do the asphalt.
Any thoughts on maybe going back to the dirt for a race or two or something? Or
possibly maybe? If they get more than two or three cars,
I was out there this past week and they had four bombers. Unfortunately, your friend Jay, Mike Blaine, got into the soft stuff up top between 3 and 4 and right into the wall.
Is he okay?
He's okay.
Almost head on.
Yeah. Physically, he's okay.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Okay,
but the car.
Good. That's all that matters. Car can be.
I mean,
fixed.
The car, yeah, I couldn't tell if the frame was bent real bad, but obviously the frame horn forward was pretty bad. So, but bad night for him. And, you know,
he said it was too wet.
Yeah. It was. And he got up into the wet
first.
Yeah,
is this the heat or the main?
Main.
Main.
This is the main.
And he went in
they,
himself?
They wet it down. I didn't see it happen because I was back at the pit. I had just walked up there after he had already gotten into the wall, and you could see how wet
it
was.
I had heard that the track got watered during the intermission.
Right. Yeah. Yep, they watered it during intermission. It was really wet.
And it was really wet, and they sent the bombers out first.
Hot and slick.
Yep.
That's it. It just turned to black ice.
Yeah, like glass.
With the heat, that they had this weekend, it just not dry slick. Just
he went out there. It wasn't like black anything. Ice. It was mud. It was dry slick by the time the modifieds came out. But I guess that's something with dirt. You'd never. It's always unexpected what you're gonna get. I mean, look, somewhat like that on the asphalt, but not the same.
As long as Mike is all right, there's plenty of caprices. Parts out at the junkyard. I'm sure he'll put the car back together.
Yeah, he said he's got another one, or somebody in the family has one. So.
And he's got a big family, too.
A four-door or something like that.
Yeah. So. He's got an old car that ran at the bull ring.
Oh, does he?
That red one?
Yeah, that Eric Penrod's old car.
There you go. Yep.
The number 41.
Is that the red one that was for sale?
Yeah. Yep, Mike Lane picked that up. Eric Penrod ran that at the Bullring and also Pahrump. I think he won a Harvest Fest back-to-back weekend in that car at one time back in, oh, geez, I want to say 04, 06, somewhere around there, in between there, you know, and was a fast car at one time. So
no kidding.
Mike Lane picked it up. And, maybe he'll take everything off dirt car and put it on the pavement car.
You never know.
That's it.
See what happens, huh?
So, Martin, where are you at with Jason? Is you going to get him out there for the next race, or he's still taking the rest of the year off?
No, he's not necessarily taking the rest of the year off. He won't make next race. We'll see how this race goes. We'll take the break and do some changes to his car and get him competitive.
And he's still running the 7X, the gray Monte Carlo?
Yeah, he's got the gray Monte Carlo. I mean, we actually just had to build a new car for my friend Jim Merlino.
Oh, really? Yeah, I noticed Jim had a bad wreck not only three races ago. And those guys always pit with you, Jim and Jason Merlino. He wasn't out there the last race. Where are you at with Jim's car? Driver of the Monte Carlo, 70 Monte Carlo, number 13.
13X, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one.
We'll all be out there next race. We'll all make the next race, see how it goes on the break, and hopefully, if everything goes well, these breakout races ain't one of my favorites. But
that was going to be one of my questions, is what do you think of these breakout races? Well, and why not? I mean, what's your take on that?
You spend all years making your car as fast as you can go, and then you get a limit put on it. So no matter how far in the front you are or whatever, you have 15 other cars pounding you from the back.
All right.
So a lot of things are out of your control. A lot of things are in your control, but the worst things are the things that ain't in your control. I mean, the last breakout race is when I wrecked my car. Maybe I should have been a little more cautious or waited a little longer, but
yeah.
You go out there to give it all you got and see what happens.
Well, yeah. I mean, that just adds one more thing to try to strategize with, I guess, is the breakout rule.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever worked with another driver? And have you ever, you know, strategized, you know, something with another driver to be up front with the last three laps? Have you, you know, ever put a plan together with another driver in these 20-second breakout races?
No, because I can never seem to qualify without breaking out and starting at the very back. So that goes right out the window. Right. So it makes it kind of hard, but I don't know if you can strategize. You can't even strategize in a race. I mean,
right.
You never know what's going to happen, so you can't really get a game plan.
So you're with Jim and Jason Merlino, friends, buddies, pits. When you hit the track, that all goes out the window.
Oh, yeah, that's all out the window. I mean,
competitors.
Yeah, you're friends before the race. I mean, I'm sure like you and Gary and even Mike. Look, we'll all help each other fix each other's stuff, and no man will miss a race. But when we hit the track, it's
competition time, huh?
Competition time.
All that stuff gets left right at the entrance of the track.
You're on your friggin' own now.
Exactly.
Good luck, buddy.
Oh, man.
Yep, I saw you out there. You pushed up. I took the spot. Screw you.
I can't thank Jim enough, though. I mean, he's helped me. Him and Dale have helped me tremendously. It's amazing the things, like I said, the knowledge people have that you never would have gotten, or the way people welcome their parts or house or any of that stuff to it. It's amazing.
Let me ask you, sponsors. You want to get your sponsors out there, name sponsors? Want to thank those people that have helped you run that seven car?
Actually, right now, the only sponsors I have is Rhonda Boyle, who has a stockyard next to us with Sideline Sports. Aaron McMorrin, he's been helping me make it to the races. And my sister. That's what I got. We're doing what we can do to make it. And without those three, we wouldn't have made it. So, yeah, I want to thank Ralph, Christina Perrone, Sideline Sports, and Aaron McMorrin for all their help.
Cool, man. And it's not easy, and it's not cheap. That's Mike always encourages, you see the names on the side of those cars, patronize those businesses because, one, we keep the money here in Las Vegas, and they're the ones that help us keep on racing and getting their names out there each and every race.
You know, and same thing, like you mentioned, Aaron McMorrin, you know, he's had times where somebody has helped him to be able to get to the track, and now, you know, to see him doing that, returning it back to, like, yourself and some other drivers, it's good to see him do that. And, you know, obviously, you know, Aaron McMorrin's a name that's been out at the track, and now this year racing the Lucas Oil Modified Series, and great guy, you know, and to see him help guys, you know, get their cars to the track really means something, you know. It goes back to, like you said earlier, you know, guys around you help you out as much as they can, and it's good to see that, man. So, and then to do as well as you're doing too, you know, is amazing.
And actually, one more Earth Resource Group came aboard, and they helped me too. So they're one of the newer ones, and I want to thank them also.
All right, cool, fantastic. Speaking of sponsors, want to thank Nevada Pick Apart, Steve out there, Camp Out. Thanks for everything that Anthony does for us. Mike at Reliable Banner, Phil and Jim at Pick Art Radiator, D&N Equipment, and Daniel at Best Muffler. Also, Roadrunner Engine Parts, Ken Watson, thanks for everything that you do. And, hey, Duo Street Publishings, Rob Street, staff photographer. Look him up on Facebook and check out the photography. Give him a call. He'll be able to get together, take some pictures of your car. You can purchase some pictures from him. And awesome photography has
great
up on
pictures.
His website.
Absolutely.
Yep. And he's been out there the past five Saturdays. He's shown up in our pits. Matter of fact, I want to thank Rob again for all those pictures that he gave us JC Motorsports in the autograph session.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, Mr. Rob Street.
Cool deal, Lane. We're going to take a quick break. Of course, you're here with Martin Solins, LVMS Bomber Driver, and we'll be talking some more with him right after the break, so don't miss it.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports.
So don't miss the action.
We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers too, so join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing. And you are here with us with Martin Solins, the 7 Bomber driver out at LVMS. And want to thank him for being here again, here on the show, in studio. Last week, great guest, Kaylee Barker, was in, and can't thank her enough for last week for being here. And this week, obviously, you know, we got Martin Solins here. We've got a race coming up here for the July 2nd race. It's the, what do they call it, the Night of Fire every year out at LVMS, which is probably their best turnout of the season, don't you think? Is it usually their biggest race, Night of Fire, I think?
Usually their biggest turnout.
Yeah. I mean, they got the boat races, which, you know, Martin had mentioned he was a part of at some point in the past. What they do is they drag around boats, and what's the whole idea? You knock off the competitor's boat, and whoever's left out there is the winner.
Just more carnage. They trash the friggin' track, man.
They should put that on first, right?
Tear the hell out of the boats. You're not allowed to hit the cars.
Okay.
You can't. It doesn't go demo. But the whole idea is knock the boat off of the car.
And these are fiberglass boats, right?
Oh,
they don't allow like aluminum.
Yeah.
It's all fiberglass boats. Yeah, pretty crazy. And then they have fireworks, and almost all the divisions just out on that night, I believe. You got the Modifieds, Bombers, Thunder Roadsters,
Super Late,
Super Stocks, of course, the Bombers. And then the Bombers for the July 2nd race is a breakout race, which we started to talk about. It's a 22nd, which JJ wanted the 21-second breakout race.
Man,
I'm all for now. I want the 21-second breakout race. But the 22nd breakout race, you know, I could see both sides of why you wouldn't like it and why you would like it. You know, on an entertainment side of it, for the track, you know, the Bombers have always been kind of an entertainment division. So, it you know, I can see that side of it to where it keeps the cars bunched up as hard
three
as it
by
is.
3 by 3 by 3 by 3 stack 60.
And having that close a group with new drivers, experienced drivers,
rookies,
and, you know, just that mix, it makes it interesting, let's just say, to put it mildly. So
one little push from the bottom or one little loose in the middle and cars are stacking up. That was last year. I was sitting in the back and I think it was the 55 Marshmallow Man, Billy Hearn, and you were sitting in the middle and Billy was on the inside and he pushed up and into your left rear quarter and carnage. Nothing but carnage from, I don't know, what was it, like the third row back?
Yeah, it was actually the second row back, and
which is almost the whole field.
It gets nasty, and that's the worst part about it. I mean, you spend all this time and money to put into your car, and you go out to one of these races, and it's be prepared to work on it because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it was last year. Of no fault of yours, you checked up. The cars in front checked up coming out of the turn, and then it was I walked over to your pits, and your bumper was in your trunk.
Yeah, it happens. I just haven't had very good luck with the breakout race,
right.
So we're hoping to change that this next race.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll see what happens. You know, every race is a learning experience, and once you can – seems like a pattern. You know, once you get – a hold of, let's say, a breakout race or something like that, it seems to be a pattern. You continue that good luck with it. You know, you get a win, seems like you're going to get another one or another one. You know, it just seems to be a pattern that kind of forms, which is good, you know. So, hey, with the Bombers, are there anything you'd like to see as a rule package to be changed or improved on or taken away? Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, how long have you been out the track racing the Bombers?
I've been out there 5 years.
So 5 years, in your 5 years, you know, what do you think?
make a rule and stick by it.
So basically just changing rules too often, I guess. I mean, I know that's kind of something that in every division out there, and not just at this track, at a lot of tracks, they tend to do every few years, and not always as a safety change. They change like a performance thing or something, or allow a little more.
This year we didn't. We had no changes. Last year we had the
weight rule.
Yeah. Whatchamacallit was presented to us 2 or 3 weeks into the season, and then we were told at the beginning of the 7-week break that they're going to enforce it, which they did, and they have.
And it was was monitoring a couple few races to see how that went with the weight rule.
But how many people spend all their time and their money on the off season to build a car for a rule to change 3 weeks in?
Yeah, I mean, that is a tough one, you know, because there's no good time to change rules, because if you haven't got a hold of the latest and greatest, which usually don't come out until, you know, the beginning of a season, you're kind of stuck. So
now you have a choice of either adhering to the rule or start building another car. That's it. You mentioned Jim Merlino. Did he rebuild the 70 Monte Carlo, or have you built a whole nother car?
He's got a whole new surprise coming out.
Oh.
Well, we're not going to drop it here first. Come on, man. Come on. Let it out of the bag. Jim's not going to be mad.
Jim has a whole new car coming out to the track, debuting this next race.
Hell yeah.
Chevy?
Yes.
Monte Carlo?
No.
Caprice?
No.
Keep going, Jim.
Cadillac?
And he's put a lot of effort into this car. I mean, he does with every one of his cars. One thing I can say about him is he is meticulous, like maybe somebody named Gary I know. I don't see putting all that. I mean, yes, everybody wants to come out with a good looking car, but at some point, what's enough?
The car did look sharp. That gloss by how many coats of clear did he have on that thing? Like 5?
Probably more than that.
I mean, awesome numbers. I mean, the car looked great. Yeah. Looked awful 4 races ago. It was a shame. But really, he totally, after setting that car up, how long has he had that car?
Built it brand new for this season.
He ran that last year. That was a whole new car this year?
No kidding.
Actually, I believe it was last year in open comp. Mine and his car got totaled by the 78. That was 2014. So, yeah, he did have it last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we decided that we were going to put women in our cars for open comp.
Oh, great. No, I'm just kidding.
And,
kidding.
I put my sister and he put his daughter-in-law. His brother put his girlfriend. Actually, Marty put a girl that he knew in his car. And the 78 and the 92 went out there and just drove through them.
Oh, you mean our Schumacher and Hans buddy.
Yes. Took the whole front end off mine and totaled his. So
That sounds about right.
Hey,
I'm not shy about it. I got no problem throwing it out there.
Hey, if you're going to do it, you might as well finish the job.
Everybody else, every other driver out there knows also, and this has been going on for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And they don't ever do anything about it.
So, well, they did get suspended. They were chucked, and they were fined. That we do know.
Okay, so, but after that happens and you come out and do the same shit, when's enough enough?
Yeah, that's, we haven't seen Hans out there. He only ran a couple laps in the 78, but Schumacher has been, it was 3 races ago, he was black flagged twice. Told him to put it on the trailer. That was a double race night.
I mean, you know, without putting you on the spot, do you think the track should be doing more, not just for them, but for anything going on like that? Like,
Racing, rubbing, bumping, all that's fine.
Sure.
Driving through, wrecking, pushing into the wall.
Right.
come on, there's got to be a medium.
So you think a lot of that's going on right now by certain drivers or?
By just a few drivers, but not, I mean, I guess at some point, step on the gas and go around them. That's all you can do, right?
Avoid. Yeah. Avoid. But then again.
Yeah, but you can only avoid so much.
Well, exactly.
You can only avoid so much, and you can only fix your car so many times before you want to go out there and just put them in the fucking wall.
Right. Well, no, and that makes sense. You know, you get tired of fixing. You know, you want to spend time on your car to make it
work
faster and performance-wise, not fixing it. That's why, like, on Mikey's car, we just, I mean, any dents, we just don't fix them because there's a new one next week anyways. It's like we try to decide, okay, we're going to go ahead and change this panel or something like that, and it's just, you know, it just can't do it, you know. But that's part of the division, but not, like you said, when you start driving through people, that's a little different, you know.
You know, you can understand we have rookie drivers. That's what the bomber division is set up for, entry level.
Right.
Okay. But the guys we're talking about have been out there long enough. Okay. You know, I still consider myself a rookie. All right. There's still things I need to learn.
A lot of people think you're still a rookie.
JJ, you've been racing for 50 years. How are you a rookie?
Don't let him. Yeah, you're not going to get away with this one, JJ. You're not a rookie.
People forget, you know, it's entry level division.
Right.
We got the 21 out there. We got the 25 out there. We had the 47 out there last year. Two brothers driving that. You know,
the 31 is a young kid out there.
Yeah, right. Cody Mazarang is running the 31 now out there. Mike Heck's supposed to be in it 4th of July. But, you know, it's a learning division. But we're talking about guys here that have been out there for 4 or 5 years, and they're still
They still can't drive it past their hood pins.
That's like me going out there, JJ, and intentionally running into you and saying it's your fault. At some point, there's no excuses anymore.
Everybody runs into my dents. Go in. Everybody hits me.
That's because you're not fast enough to catch anybody.
You've been challenged to come back out.
So. Now you understand why I'm on here asking for a 21-second breakout. Crying out loud. Right. You guys are opposing the 20-second. Let's go to 21-second. Let's see how that works. Then I can keep up to you guys.
That's all.
Well, if you didn't know, Martin, Mike's in the 33 now, or the 81.
I'm trying to perfect the same line that you used to run, so watch out.
Please, that's all I got to say.
I'm giving everybody a half a season break before I show up again.
Right.
That's all.
Oh, man.
You know, they know they're running fast enough. When they see the back of the black Cougar, that's when they know they're cutting laps.
Okay, yeah, they count. Like, okay, every 3 laps, I should be back up to JJ's bumper.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, what's in store for the rest of the season? I mean, there's, you know, it's hard to believe there's only half a season left, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got four or five races left.
Yeah, I mean, what do you get planned? And you just go out and win some races?
Win some races, and we got something in store for after the break, but we'll see.
Hey, and don't forget, on July 4th, barbecue in the pits at Gary's Pit, whether...
July 2nd,
I'm sorry. The night of fire race, so...
Yeah, bring the family, Martin.
Yeah, make
sure
you're
there.
Bring
everybody over. Bring your sponsors. Gary's cooking. The more I see him sweat behind the grill, the happier I am.
Be careful. I'll probably have about 75 people in my stockyard that night.
Bring him on. Hey, we're out of time, Martin. Thanks for being here with us. You know, you're welcome anytime. Looking forward to seeing your race out here on the July 2nd night of fire race at LVMS. You can go to LVMS.com to keep updated on the schedule. But thanks. You know, appreciate you being here, man.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Martin, coming in.
And real quick, I want to wish my buddy Steven Zimmerman from UNLV. He's entering the NBA draft this year. So, and that is Wednesday night.
Cool. Coming up.
Or Thursday night. Thursday night.
23rd.
So good luck to him entering the NBA draft.
Yeah. A lot more we could have talked about, but, you know, RJ Smotherman, some other stuff, but we'll keep you posted on that. But thanks again. We'll see you here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Thanks again, Martin. See you at onwheelsnow.com next week.
happy belated Father's Day. Yep. Good night.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.